I was busy talking with our corporation counsel, so.
Oh.
Regarding our agreement.
Oh, okay.
They agree with us.
Good.
Yes.
Good. So we have everyone here, so I'll call the meeting to order. So citizens' comments are first. We don't have any citizens here, so we'll close citizens' comments. Approval of the minutes from May 13th. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I wasn't there, so.
I wasn't either, so.
Yep.
Introductions.
Yeah, I was gonna do that after the approval of minutes. So we have a lot of people, new people here, so we just thought we'd take a minute to have everyone go around and introduce yourselves, share a little bit of, you know, what brings you to the meeting. So I'm Sean Smith, I'm the IT Director for Kenosha County, and I'm the Chair of the Land Information Council.
Rob Mary, Sewer Pack, also the County Surveyor for Kenosha, and then also Walworth, Ozaki, Waukesha, so.
John O'Day on the County Board since '96. In real estate since '84.
Peggy Bullheist from Land Information.
Sergeant Chris Hanna, I'm the Director of Emergency Management, just newly appointed here, so.
Scott Grundy, I am owner of Realty Pro here in Kenosha, same newly appointed to this.
Andy Bueller, Director of Planning Development. He went through our committee to get newly appointed.
I'm Scott Schutze, Director of the Division of Land Information.
And I'm Joellen Storrs, the Register of Deeds for Kenosha County.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Welcome to everyone who's not been here before. We meet two times a year, so there's another meeting that'll happen May-June timeframe. Typically at that meeting, there are no votes taken. That's usually an informational meeting outside of meeting minutes. And then this meeting is where we all gather together and vote on what kind of projects we want to use the grant funds for from the state, and then to also cover any other topics that are necessary. So Scott is the one who actually goes through everything, so I'll turn the meeting over to Scott.
All right. Thank you. All right, our WLIP compliance status, our grant agreement went in February, and that was approved. We'll talk about that grant project here in just a couple of slides. Our version 8 parcel submittal, this is something that is required of all 72 counties throughout the state. This was the 8th iteration. We submitted that data in March, and it was approved. So if you are able to go to the state parcel database, you can see parcels anywhere throughout the entire state of Wisconsin because of these submittals. So it's a very useful tool, especially for realtors and people that are outside of Kenosha County as well. They don't necessarily have to come to our website, so they can access it from different places. Our 2022 expenditure activity report, I worked on that with finance, and that was submitted in June, and that was approved by the DOA as well. And the 2023 grant application, that's what I'm considering in progress, because it really needs to be approved by this committee here today. That application has to be in by December 31st. If we're not able to approve a project today, we would have to meet again presumably before the 31st to approve something. But that's the core charge of this committee, is to approve how these grant funds are used. And that comes out of the $7 that's collected at the counter of Register of Deeds for any deed that is filed that is land records
related. Any document.
Any document, I'm sorry.
Not just deeds.
So okay, our recent grant projects, our 2020 grant, which was in the amount of $40,000, was just completed earlier this year, back in roughly in March or April, I believe. That resulted in a number of mapping applications that are being used by the Public Works Department in the background for various asset inventories like bridges, signs, culverts, and so forth. There are two small public aspects to those applications that allow the public to see our paving projects and one other item, and it escapes me at this moment right now. The 2021 grant was in the amount of $50,000. That's for our interactive mapping rewrite. That project is happening as we speak. We've got someone in IT internally rewriting that application. It is probably our most well-used application on the entire Kenosha County website. A very valuable tool. It was last written in 2013, and it is due for a refresh. 9 years is an awful long time for an application to be up and running. It has served us very well. We could have stretched it out more, but it's due at this time. So our 2022 grant was, we chose to use those funds for a Register of Deeds scanning and indexing project for Joellen. And that was to address what?
Grant or grantee indexes.
Grant or grantee indexes. That project is happening as we speak. We just received word yesterday that it is a little bit ahead of schedule. We were originally told it would be done around March, but now we're being told that in coming weeks we should have the data.
The indexing is just about complete and just ready to work with Trimon on the import. Mm-hmm.
There's a second aspect to that, and because Joellen's project used less monies than we had anticipated, the remainder of that grant will be used for scanning and indexing of various land-related documents down in the treasurer's office. That has not started yet, but we expect to get that going here soon. It has to be done by December 31st of 2023. So, and Terry has a lot of scanning and indexing to do down in her office. Any questions on the previous grants before we move on?
Scott, before you talk about the projects, could you mm-hmm. just, we do have new people here, could you just describe what the criteria we use to, or you know, what we have to do for a project to qualify for this grant?
Okay, the projects to qualify for the grant have to, first and foremost, be located in our land records plan. That is something that we update here, and this committee approves once every 3 years, roughly now. I think our current land records plan will expire in 2024, I believe. So sometime next year, we'll start talking about that process. Because the funds are collected through the Register of Deeds office, it has to be for a land records related project. It can go for nothing else in the county. That's the way it's written in the state statutes. There's $7 from every
recording
in Joellen's office. And part of that $7 goes to administrative fees at the state DOA, who runs the Wisconsin Land Information Program. And the other portion of that is given back to the counties via this grant program. And that's where these monies are coming from. These grants have typically been anywhere from $40,000 up to $70,000 over the course of the last 6 or 7 years or so. Yes.
Is it prorated to the counties based on the volume from the county, or is it prorated?
No, it's prorated on need. So when this first started, years before this started, we sent $2 for every recording to the state of Wisconsin, and they kept all the money for administration and whatever they did with it. And then they decided that they wanted to do statewide parcel mapping. So they, we had been collecting $5 from every recording for redacting. So what we had a project where the state allowed us to collect an additional $5 per recording so we could remove historical social security numbers from all our documents because they were all online and people's identities could be compromised. But that had a sunset. So the way things go with the state and with probably just about every government is once you're collecting money, you're not going to stop. So they decided to divert that $5 to the land information program. Kenosha County records, you know, say if we record 30,000 documents, for us that $5,000 would be $150,000 we're sending to the state. We're not getting that much money back, but what they are doing is they're allocating it to counties that aren't as wealthy as Kenosha County. We're considered a rich county in this state. So there's a lot of counties that don't record anywhere near the number of documents that we do, that don't have anywhere near the revenue that we do. So they are able to get that money to do these types of land record modernization programs that the larger counties are able to do. So that's how they decide who gets how much. But everybody gets something. And well, everybody gets, like this year, everybody's getting the $70,000, but it's spread out. Not just, you know, there's counties who haven't sent 70,000, but then there's counties who sent more than 70,000. So it gets distributed to everybody to do something with.
And there are further grants for those that don't have enough recordings, and they may get an extra $20,000, $30,000, $40,000.
The state doesn't keep it in their back pocket. It's not part of their reserves.
No, and the reason it's $70,000 this year is they don't want anybody at the state to see that large number and say, oh, recordings were up. Look at all the money they got over there. They want to get it back out to the counties so that we can utilize it at the local level.
It's important for us not to get too used to seeing a $70,000 grant.
Yeah.
They're warning us it's going to go down to $40,000 next year.
Yeah, well, recordings are down. So anybody, if you're in real estate, you know that sales are down and recordings overall are down. With increased interest rates, refinances are down. So as, you know, kind of ebb and flow. This year it's high because last year we had record recordings. Next year it's going to be down because this year we're slow. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
So we were informed in October that the grant award would be $70,000. That's we're informed every October. The unfortunate thing in that process is we've already started our budget process in July. Okay, so the grant is not yet in our budget, but I will work with finance to insert it into the land information budget here at the January Finance Committee meeting. We've done that every year for the last 6 years. It will simply be $70,000 into our budget and $70,000 out on a corresponding expense, no levy impact. So the project, we've got 2 years to complete it. So December of 2024 is when we have to have it wrapped up. We have in the past asked for extensions. We don't like to do that, but we need to. And we experienced that during the pandemic, that we needed to extend things because things were just very strange working with vendors during that time and so forth. And the projects have to be, like I mentioned earlier, referenced in our Kenosha County Land Records Plan. Very important. Finally, action is required by this committee before it can be approved. That's the statutory charge of this committee. So what we do here in Kenosha County is we have an internal committee called the KALM, Kenosha Area Land Management Committee, that consists of IT, planning, land information, the treasurer's office, the clerk's office,
registered.
I'm sorry.
Register of deeds.
And we have been meeting since the early 1990s, probably.
Yeah, probably mid-90s.
Mid-90s?
Yeah.
And that's an internal committee that gets together Probably 5 times a year. It, at times in the past, it had been a little more often. It had been, what, once a month?
Once a month, yeah.
And we discuss anything land records related. And it is a very useful committee. It helps keep everyone on the same page in terms of where we're going and what we're doing. And that committee has acted in an advisory capacity to this land council as far as vetting out some of these projects. So the CALM committee did meet yesterday, and they do have a recommendation for you. And that recommendation is right here. So what we did is we went through a large number of projects, talked about the merits of each based on timing, funding, and need. And this is the project idea that came up. What I'm hoping we can do is we can go through each one of these and talk a little bit about what they are, and allow you to ask any questions you may have, and or make any suggestions for any other projects that you may feel are important. The GCS software upgrade. GCS is our taxation and land management system. It is used for real property listing down in the land information office. It is used for all of the taxation functions that's undertaken by the treasurer's office as well, and also municipal collections on taxes.
And it integrates with our records as well. To give you the data.
It does. So there's a link from the TRIMIN side, which is Joellen's Register of Deeds data, over to GCS, and it dumps the recordings over to us so we can review them on a daily basis.
From a very tangible, when you go in and you pay your taxes, that's where they're recorded, on the tax side of things. I mean, it's our cash receipting for how we receive all the funds for any taxes that are paid through the year. It's how they track payments. It's a rather critical system.
Doesn't it also integrate with the Department of Revenue?
It does.
Yeah.
It does with the real estate e-return that is filed with any sale.
With property inquiry too.
And property inquiry.
So that's where the public gets to see it when you look up things.
So as you can tell, it is a very critical system. Right now, the GCS software upgrade that is required for 2023, and it's being required because the software vendor is telling us we have to move on it. We had the option to do this last year, but for various reasons, we chose to hold off on it. But now it's being required. And unfortunately, right now, the software upgrade is tied up in the capital improvement budget. And the it's unclear on what's going to happen with the capital improvement budget right now. So as we talked this through yesterday at CALM, we were wondering if we could use these dollars to perhaps provide ourselves a mechanism to fund that software upgrade if the capital improvement budget is not approved.
So I don't want to be, the capital, our budget is approved. It's just the bonding resolution is not approved. So the spending of the money is approved in our budget process. The mechanism to provide the funds to do it, which is the bonding resolution, is what hasn't passed. And I just wanted to clarify that, because at any point, if the county board were to pass a way to provide funding outside of this or anything else, it is an approved project through the county, through the budget process. It's just needing its funding source now. So, sorry, Scott.
Thank you. The state has told us we can put this GCS software upgrade into this grant if we'd like, and if the funding is, if it's otherwise funded elsewhere through the capital budget, we can resubmit our application for a different project if we'd like. So this provides a mechanism where we can ensure that we're able to make that software upgrade simply because it has to be done next year. Otherwise, we won't have a taxation system, presumably, to use, which would be tragic.
You know what the cost of that is, roughly?
It's around $60,000 is what we're anticipating. We are working to minimize the cost on that as much as possible because the other project we're anticipating is like $14,000.
It's
$23,000. So we're balancing the two to try and get them both done.
So the second project that Sean just referred to is something called our Parcel Fabric upgrade to ArcGIS Pro. Our mapping vendor has a new desktop software that we need to move to within the next few years. And as part of that process, we have to take our Parcel Fabric, which is a fancy way of saying our cadastral mapping, and we need to upgrade it so that it can be used in the ArcGIS Pro environment. It requires us to work with a vendor to massage the data slightly and get it into a format that works in that new environment. Like I mentioned, that was $23,000. The GCS software upgrade was $60,000. We do feel that we have some licensing costs in the capital budget that perhaps can reduce the $60,000, and that's why we're presenting both of these particular projects at the $70,000 level.
I think you also have to update your land plan too, right? As far as
yes, I'm hopeful that today,
okay,
if we have action today,
okay,
we have action not only to approve the use of the funds, but also to amend the land records plan.
Okay.
To include both of these. Now, if funding for the GCS software upgrade were to come out of the bonding, we could amend our application to the state and we could do other projects. And we talked about potentially what those projects could be. Number one, it could be land records scanning and indexing. Terry, like I mentioned, has a lot of information down in the treasurer's office that has to be scanned and indexed. It will not be finished with the current grant year monies that we're allocating for it. So that's one such area that we could continue to put grant funds to. The other project would be to expand our Kenosha County data portal. Our data portal is, at this point, largely mapping data that's available for the public. It allows the public to freely download mapping data sets, spreadsheets, and so forth regarding land information. But there is a lot of expansion we can do with that to include other types of data, such as health-related, law enforcement, emergency management, and so forth. So there's a lot of possibilities there. There's some great examples out with the city of Phoenix, the city of San Francisco, about how they really expanded their data offerings and have made that data portal much more meaningful to the general public. With that, are there any questions or discussion on any of those items?
So basically, Scott, what we're saying is we'd like to try to approve the top two, but also the bottom two if GCS gets in the dealt with through the CIP.
Correct.
And then this committee will have covered everything, and then you can just make the modification and amendment to the state.
Correct.
Without coming back.
Correct. The one caveat to all of that is the application, which I normally submit by December 31st, you know, we still have a month and a half to submit it. So I would hold off on that application until such time because it's very possible our bonding monies may be settled by that time. So.
Come on, John, it'll be done, right?
I doubt it.
Oh, that's not positive.
But if that were, if that did not happen, we'd have those top two on.
Correct.
And we could fund them. But if it did, we could, I would just submit the grant with the parcel fabric, the land record scanning, and the data portal expansion. Okay. So this is kind of giving us an opportunity to cover ourselves,
okay,
especially on the GCS software upgrade, if those monies don't come.
So what you're saying is your grant is pretty much ready to go. You're just going to wait. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can't put all four on because we can't do all four. So that's why we cause it would be exceed the monies.
Correct.
So that's why you can only put two, and then the other two if the one thing comes off.
Correct.
You ready for a motion?
Yes.
Come on. I make a motion that we approve the recommendation for the CALM monies in 2023, or the WLIP monies in 2023 for the GCS software upgrade, the parcel fabric upgrade, and then if GCS is pulled off because of the CIP, we then move on with land record scanning and Kenosha County data portal.
Second.
Shall we amend that to include the update of the land records plan, or should that be a separate motion?
I think that should be separate.
Separate, okay.
So we have a first and a second?
Yes.
Is there any discussion?
You did.
Any discussion? No discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So it passes.
Then I would like to make a motion to amend the Kenosha County Land Records Plan to include the GCS software upgrade and the parcel fabric upgrade to ArcGIS Pro. They are not explicitly stated in our land records plan, but I want to make sure that they are, so that there's
just
no
to be covered. Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. All right. Imagery. There's a lot of things happening with imagery in the region right now, and Rob is going to help us through this. I'm going to just, first of all, talk a little bit about our 2022 imagery project, which represents the first year we've collected imagery in a year that didn't end in a zero or a five since 1967. But there's some exciting developments here. So we flew a plane in mid-April. We worked with a contractor to get that plane up. They collected both orthophotography, which are straight down images, and oblique images, which are shot at roughly a 45 degree angle. This was a very challenging spring.
Yes.
For flying. There was a lot of overcast conditions, there was a lot of precipitation, and there was a lot of wind.
Yep.
And it was challenging, but it got done, and I must say I'm surprised at how well things look considering. The total project cost for us here at Kenosha County was $59,853. Rob was able to secure some federal transportation planning funds for $20,000, $20,600. That brought the total project cost to $80,500. We have received the data in-house and we've QC'd it, and Rob's done a more thorough QC than we have.
Right. I mean, we reviewed all the provided tile imagery. Now, this is only the ortho, so not the oblique. So we're looking for just the top down to support, you know, any kind of planning development, and looking for both accuracy as far as just what the stated accuracy was to be. We also then do an evaluation of how it relates with the existing planimetric or the existing imagery to make sure it's spatially, accurate in what it's now been you know, generated as far as these final ortho tiles. We also take and evaluate both, you know, just the image quality and the, you know, and any kind of unusualness or inconsistencies. Overall, everything was great. I mean, so no necessarily complaints one way or the other. We did have a couple tiles that we asked as far as to have them take a second look. What happens is on certain bridges and certain areas, things can be warped. So you kind of, at that point in time, as you're rectifying these images and placing them spatially in state plane coordinates, they can be rectified to the ground. Well, if a bridge is going down to a creek or, you know, to another road, the bridge itself can be kind of warped or curved. It looks curved due to how it's how the ortho is being rectified or generated. So in doing so, they have to then manipulate the pixels to now make it look straight. So on the human eye, you're not looking and seeing this distorted bridge over, you know, going over, say, a given creek. So I think there was maybe one or two or some circumstances that happened. Nothing egregious. Just like I said, it's more trying to get those remedied. So. You know, at this point in time, I will say, I mean, this was probably in my, you know, 30 years of experience of dealing with springtime imagery acquisition, and this is going back to my contracting days, this was by far the worst year. If we had, it was cloudy and overcast almost, you know, almost every day, and when it got sunny, well, the winds were howling at 50 miles plus, hour. And you know, when you're flying at, you know, 5,000 feet or, you know, at a given altitude, you don't think of it as a plane but it is, the plane is being bopped around and moved around, you know, excessive. And that can cause image blur, just image blur in itself. So just because it's not keeping up with the plane movements, the image or the camera can't keep up necessarily with taking the photo. So you have to deal with these, you know, inconsistencies in how the image is being taken. So it was just a constant battle of trying to find an optimal day. So things got stretched out much longer than most circumstances, but I mean, the good news is we had it acquired and everything was taken care of. So so we're waiting on the few correction calls. I don't think we've gotten
no back. Response yet.
Okay.
From the contractor.
Yeah. So
Rob, can you speak to shadow detail a little bit?
Okay. I was kind of holding off. Okay. So it was so shadow detail, I will give you kind of a, because of because of the difficulties of flying, there were areas where they flew under probably, it would have been solid overcast. So there isn't a cloud in between, but the sun is not out. So what you're going to see is you might, in buildings and structures, normally speaking, you'll see, a shadow can be kind of obtrusive. But that really helps for smaller features, like say a given power pole or a telephone pole or a pedestal. If you don't have a shadow, they get lost because of how those type of, they're smaller features and they're not being highlighted enough to see on the ground. So because of the imagery was acquired maybe in less than ideal conditions, but because of the circumstances, you know, there weren't a lot of opportunities. You might see some what I call flatter photography. So what it looks like is when you look at detail, it just kind of mushes together a little bit. It's accurate spatially, and the information is great, and it conveys. The good news is we're not flying every 5 years, where now we have buildings and structures that we knew have been developed and have been there for some time. now we're actually seeing them being developed and in subdivisions being built and things happening where you can look at it and say spatially things are being developed in this given area. But the caveat being is it can start to appear a bit flat in nature. So just a words of caution. I mean, as you zoom in, you can certainly see the information. You can still see excellent transportation features as far as, you know, sidewalks, curbs, you know, as far as manholes, storm sewers, things of that sort that are ideal for understanding the development that's occurring inside of a given subdivision or inside of an area that's being developed. But it is something that, can be, there could be some hidden features that are there if you know they're there, but might not necessarily be picked up by the human eye, because of the nature of when it was acquired. So I'm expecting to see what the response is.
Yeah.
So
I am as well.
You saw some of the, did you see my follow-up?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay.
No, I mean, obliques were flown also.
They were.
So I know from our use, like looking at tall things like towers, you might not see them. But then if you switch to the obliques, obviously you can.
Yes, you're going to see them. I mean, yeah. You're definitely going to be able to pick it up. I did provide Scott some samples of, later on, just what is the difference? Because sometimes I think we lose sight of. Because we can see it. We can see that the building, we can see that, but what is the difference between collecting a building that is in full sun versus collecting a building versus, solid overcast? And it really, you don't think of it as what the difference is until you see the difference. And there are significant, highlights that help you discern from the, what the type of structure that you're working with, or the type of nuances of like a roof, that you can pick up dormers and you can pick up other aspects that when in an overcast condition, they're not highlighted because of the shadow casting, the highlights of the varying peaks and things of that sort. And the big, like I said, the bigger issue, the one thing that I always kind of come to is light poles and things of that sort. But yes, you're right, absolutely. The obliques would pick up a light pole now, because you're looking at it not from straight down with the pole being kind of just straight up and down, where you physically will have to know that there's a light pole there. It gets kind of lost. What you look for is you look for that shadow casting, to make sure that there is, there's that light pole, kind of popping out. But the oblique, now you're looking at it from that 45 and looking outwardly, you can see the light pole kind of laying across and some sort of, telephone pole or, telephone pedestal and things of that sort. So, yep.
Scott, did the Sheriff's Department get to... Who all got to look at the obliques before they?
Anyone that is on the Connect Explorer online application.
Oh, okay. All right. We all got to see that already. Early. Yeah.
Correct.
Is there ever going to be a discussion of it, like going public obliques?
Oh, we're building that into the new interactive mapping.
Okay.
Yes.
So you'll touch on that when we talk about that?
We're not scheduled to talk about it, but we can talk about it. We can't talk about it in business. Just a little bit of background. Region-wide, we work with a vendor called Eagle View, and they're, the imagery program is called Pictometry. Kenosha County, Milwaukee County, and Washington County worked with the Eagle View vendor for 2022. All of the other counties in the region worked with the WROC Consortium, correct?
That is correct. And WROC Consortium, selected Quantum Spatial or NV5 and AIRS as the image acquisition provider and the image processing provider.
And the big difference between those two are that, you know, we have the obliques, they do not.
Correct.
Necessarily. So yeah. we have an added product, yeah, in ours.
Yep.
With that, there's been some development on these federal transportation planning funds, and I'll let you speak to that.
Okay. Bob. So the good news is, you know, the federal transportation funds, I guess good and bad. I mean, which I know that we initially were starting to talk about like the two and a five, you know, maybe a two and a three to kind of still make the five, but that proved to be a little bit more problematic as far as receiving the federal trade. You know, they wanted more of just consistency, 5-10 or 2-4-6-8. And so the good news is they agreed that, you know, the federal, the budgets would be allowed to now go every 2 years instead of every five. So we're excited to help provide the cost sharing aspects to acquire now imagery on an every other year basis to make it so that we stay current in the image, in the ortho imagery that we're providing, you know, to out in providing the public so that they can look at that development and see things not staying stagnant for every 5 years, but now on this every other year basis.
Is
so
that
that's
region wise or statewide?
Region wide.
Just for us region.
Yes,
every
correct.
Two, we can go to every two.
That's correct. Yep. So
cool.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing. And it's a good thing, and it's also 3-inch imagery too. So it actually, so, and this is region wide also. So at that point in time, we're not looking at saying 6-inch orthos that would be for planning purposes. We're dealing with 3-inch orthos. So at that point, that 3-inch ortho can definitely provide a lot of greater assistance in really discerning what's on the ground and what, you know, from a transportation level, not just looking at it from a planning level, you know, for comprehensive planning.
Yeah, and we've been getting the 3-inch, but they've approved funding for 3-inch.
Yes.
So saying, yeah.
Yep. So the beauty of technology is usually things go up with inflation and everything else we've been talking about. But the good news is in orthos, they go down because technology. So it will even fall less this year, you know, for... you know, some of the other the W Rock counties at this point in time has agreed to slightly reduce their fee. We're waiting to see what Eagle View will do at that point in time. But it is something that is, you know, positive, and getting, you know, now increased currency at that scale and level of detail.
Also, in the last 5 years or so, the costs are coming down
significantly,
which is very helpful because while we had it in our bonding budget for once every 5 years, now we're asking for it once every 2 years. But I'm not asking for more money long term than it was 5 years ago. So that's a positive development as well.
Right.
Do you want a recommendation at all from this committee to help with inserting it in the budget or anything? Because I know in the past it was always, I don't know if we should fund this thing.
I think when the time comes, that might be helpful. But for right now, I'm not sure that it's necessary.
We should be having the meeting in May or June, and that lines up really well with the budget planning
yeah.
for 2024.
Do it then.
I think that would be the best time to do it. Yes.
All right.
The so those funds are projected in the 5-year capital budget right now. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to move the 2025 to 2024 a year earlier, and we're hopeful that we'll be able to do that. I always want to bring to this committee the imagery discussion because it's possible that at some point we could have to use grant monies for an imagery project.
So and we've talked about that a couple of times, especially to do this last 2022.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
But didn't need to.
So.
Haven't we used some of this money in the past for imagery?
Not for imagery.
Thought we had.
We, like Andy said, we discussed it, but we hadn't.
We planned for funding it for 2022, but then different things came up and prices and everything.
Well, on a regional basis, Kenosha County seems to be growing much faster than some of the other counties in our region, the seven counties.
Right.
This should help for emergency management, particularly, I would think, in catching up quicker.
No, exactly. I think that, you know, all the development that's occurring in Kenosha and having now current imagery would certainly go a long ways to making sure to see that development occurring and not just going at that every 5-year basis. I mean, the 5-year basis, I will say the commission's going to have to now change how they're going to do their land use update because now we don't have the 5-year. So we're going to either have to figure out do it on the 4 or do it on the 6. I mean, the goal is obviously the 10 is you know, steadfast. We're not changing that. That will always remain, you know, as a, you know, a major update and a major, you know, for land use and environmental corridors, et cetera. So, but that interim one, we're going to have to kind of internally figure out how we're going to handle that either on the 4 or the 6, you know, to move forward. So, but.
The imagery is very tightly integrated into joint services for dispatch and so forth already. The other really major user of this imagery, other than internal county departments, are tax assessors for the municipalities. It's hard as a tax assessor to be invited into a home anymore.
Yep.
You can't go in and you can't measure. Pictometry provides a tool that the tax assessors love because they have nothing else that they can fall back on.
And they can see all four sides.
And they can see all four sides. They can see if additions were put on.
Right.
They can take some rough outside measurements and so forth. You know, if there's a gate at the end of the driveway, they can't even see the house. Well, this is how they do it. They do it with the imagery. So.
Now, doing obliques, that's not been decided in 24.
Well, that's something that we'll have to keep in mind moving forward. The obliques add cost to the acquisition. And of that $80,500, if we were only to do orthos, how much could we knock that down to? 60, maybe?
That's what I was thinking, 60. 55, 60 is, because I think it's roughly 80, I believe. It's like 75 additional dollars per square mile for the obliques.
So to get obliques for another 20. Do you know, do you ever get any funding in emergency management for things like that to
not
cover
that I've seen
data?
So nothing off the top of my head with the grants that we're currently dealing with. So, but if I do see something, I can definitely push it out or bring it here.
Yeah, I just kind of wonder, right? Because it's used for joint services, so.
So I what Andy is kind of getting at here is we could decide to do just orthos in 2024, but then do obliques again in 2026 and just do obliques every 4 years. Because there is a little bit of added cost. It's an extra $20,000, roughly. Something we'll need to keep in mind as we move forward. Any more questions on imagery? No? New business. Andy mentioned it earlier. I'll just touch upon it briefly. Interactive mapping. Our interactive mapping application is one of our best used applications on the entire Kenosha County website. We are in the process of rewriting that right now. That was one of those grants that I mentioned we extended. So right now that has to be finished up by June 30th of next year. Right now now IT is working on that along with some of our staff in land information to rewrite it. We're really excited about it. I don't have it for here today to show you an example, but we've got some of it done at this point, and it's not nearly finished. It's probably, what, 50% complete at this time?
I'm not positive the percentage, but I mean, some of the big things that it's being introduced is easier controls for the interface. There's some additional tools that are going to be added. And to me, one of the biggest things is it's going to be a responsive design, meaning that it will work, period, on a cell phone. Right now, if you try and use it on a cell phone or an iPad, it's either unusable completely or as good as. So having that type of, and then it's also, right now, our current version works best with Internet Explorer. I think you can get it to function on some of the other browsers in some ways, but that is an old browser, and so getting it updated to modern technologies and all of those things really make it a far better application. It's saying all that, it is still heavily used, but I think these are going to be huge improvements.
With obliques, it sounds like.
That's something that would be added?
Yes. It's spec'd in there.
All right.
So, and I think good. We're looking at a March implementation time frame in that range. We'll see, you know, so long as things keep going, because this is something that there's more custom programming in than we have in a lot of our applications. A lot of things we might use that are off the shelf and we make minor modifications. This is something that is heavily programmed and designed through IT and land information.
Scott, do the realtors have the Explorer? Access to Explorer?
Connect Explorer?
Yeah.
No, not to Connect Explorer.
Okay.
Right. There's, unfortunately, a lot of realtors
assessors?
Out there. And the assessors do.
The assessors do.
Law enforcement does.
Yeah. Okay.
Not many outside the
It was all internal.
It's okay. Mostly internal. Now.
So then Scott doesn't really know what we're talking about then.
Not on the Connect Explorer.
Yeah.
Now, on interactive mapping, when we rewrite that, we're going to go and do some public outreach to the Realtor Association and so forth, where we will train on how to use the new interactive mapping and so forth. So,
with all the tools you talked about, measuring awesome, height, width, length, all that.
Yeah, we don't have access to that.
Correct.
I've never seen that.
Now, Connect Explorer, which is the internal tool that shows the obliques, I can provide access to that for anyone here in this committee. So I could do that for you, but that's not something necessarily you could share outside of the county. So
I think there's usage fees associated with that one, right? So that's why we wouldn't share it more widely, is because, you know,
misuse or something.
We can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But being part of the interactive mapping, then you alleviate that issue because you don't have to use them.
Correct. There's no licensing limits.
Yeah.
In interactive mapping, so freely available for the entire public. So,
hey, Rob, have you seen other counties that are sharing obliques anywhere?
No, I was going to ask offline, kind of like I knew that there's licensing restrictions on what Eagle View, can allow.
I thought Washington and Milwaukee did.
That, well,
they're
not externally.
No, not externally.
Not externally.
Internally, I mean, like the assessors are the real drivers of the oblique and the oblique need.
We've pushed the boundaries with sharing it with the assessors because technically they could stop that if they wanted. But we started that very early on in the process, and they have shown no.
What you're saying, Sean, we're leading the way.
what I'm really going to be interested in is if any public reaction to having the obliques available. Yeah, because, you know, people get upset about privacy, and I'll be interested to see if we, because, you know, we get regular feedback about privacy related issues, so.
That's coming, right? That's coming.
So okay. We'll just have to kind of monitor it.
When you have 3-inch pixel resolution.
Yes.
You can tell if someone's sunbathing in their backyard.
Is that?
Yeah.
You just can. Don't do it early in the morning.
Yeah.
When they fly.
Well, when you fly on a sunny day.
Sergeant Hannah, can you send out one of the emergency alerts? Yeah. Flyovers happening this morning.
I don't think FEMA would like that. But
no,
maybe
it's
a potential question of sending something out.
Privacy.
Yeah.
Nobody notified me.
Yeah. I mean, they fly early in the.
No, they they fly. No,
well,
they,
that's right.
No, they fly sun.
You want
sun,
the sun
goes,
right
it's
up.
30 degrees or higher.
Yeah, prime sunning hours.
It's
watch
10 a.m.
out.
Yeah.
3 p.m.
Exactly.
You know,
it
somebody
is ideal.
Be in there.
Yes, correct.
But it is March.
Yes,
it is.
Right,
it's
a little cold. So
we fly leaf off so that we can see the ground features.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the people features.
It's interesting, all that leap off, sun, I mean, how all that makes a difference in that. That's interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yeah, you know, correct.
You didn't put all that in perspective, you know, like they fly over, take images, but you don't think of all the details that need to be
right.
discussed.
Right. The planning ahead is tremendous as far as just, yeah, and actually you're asking for an ideal day. And then at that point, you know, under ideal conditions. And so it's when you start looking back, and especially March time frame, it's not ideal weather traditionally.
You don't want snow on the ground. You
right.
don't want
no
ice on the lakes.
No snow. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
no
what's
ice
the time
on the
frame
lakes.
Of that? How many days or how many hours or did that?
Hours wise, I think if you probably get perspective as far as aircraft time, I would probably put it into maybe 6 hours of flying.
Okay.
You know, ish, it would be time frame.
I think they work for about 4 days.
Is it 4 days?
Well,
okay.
And not full days. I'm
correct.
I'm just saying.
I'm just curious.
That 6 hours could have been stretched out.
Yeah.
Yes.
In parts over the
well,
4 days.
Depends on the condition.
Well, if you ever think about it, it's like what will happen is traditionally speaking, it's like, okay, your sun angle might be from 10 to 3. So at 10 a.m., clear skies. By noon, all of a sudden you get the puffy white clouds. Well, that's nice, but not ideal for the plane to fly. So at that point, you might be done. So you only might get 2 hours of plane time, you know, to acquire, you know, the imagery on that given day. Well, then you go to the next day and then so on and so forth. And I don't know how many times I've sat waiting for a clear day. And 3-4 weeks later, I'm still sitting there waiting for a clear day. So
it's, you can't dial that up?
No, you can't, unfortunately.
Any other new business?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Thanks, everyone.
I don't want to stay another 20 minutes. Come on.
Do you have a new manager yet?
No.
We're an hour
early. Are they still looking
at this
stuff?
Yeah.
Well, you know, in the Kenosha News today.
Thanks for the Kringle, Scott.